It's Thursday, November 14, 2024.
We are in the midst of a record-breaking dry spell, not just in New Jersey, but across the entire Northeast.
New York and New Jersey grapple with record drought and autumn wildfires. Republicans win U.S. House majority and the power to reverse Biden climate action. Plus,
the sound you hear is the ticking clock.
UN Climate Summit kicks off with very high stakes.
All of those ticking clocks and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I don't want anyone to panic, but this weekend there were wildfires all over the New York area. Evidently, Mayor Adams is finally getting serious about the war on rats.
Gotta do what you gotta do. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I know they're getting down to business in Azerbaijan, but first, they're getting down to business here in the U.S. House?
Yes, Republicans have won a narrow majority in the U.S. House with total control over Congress and climate denier Donald Trump in the White House. Republicans now have the power to demolish a host of climate, pollution, and conservation laws and policies when they take power in January.
Yay.
But the climate hits keep on coming anyway. In New York and New Jersey, the driest conditions in 120 years are fueling rare wildfires in areas that have seen no significant rain since August. Two suspects have been separately charged in setting some of the fires, including one that killed a forest ranger. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy on Wednesday asked the public to conserve water to stave off mandatory restrictions.
The big picture takeaway is that every one of us needs to do whatever we can to conserve water, because by every indication, it looks like we have as well a very dry winter ahead of us. Yes, that means this drought could grow even more severe.
Yay.
At the UN, COP29 climate talks now underway in the oil state of Azerbaijan, money is the focus as negotiators attempt to hammer out provisions under the Paris Climate Agreement to generate trillions of dollars in finance, with wealthy countries like the U.S. that got rich off of fossil fuels helping developing nations shift to clean energy sources and afford the cost of adapting to loss and damage from climate impacts, which they largely did not cause. Without financing, green transitions in developing nations will not happen fast enough to prevent catastrophic global warming, analysts say. Contentious questions include how much money, who should pay, how it should be structured, and who will control it. Current U.S. climate envoy John Podesta told the conference on Monday that the fight for climate action will not stop under a re-elected Donald Trump, even if some progress is reversed.
Some progress.
And he says focus will now move to the states. This week, the CEO of ExxonMobil urged Trump not to withdraw from the Paris Agreement and forfeit its seat at the negotiating table. The president of host nation Azerbaijan defended his own country's increased production of oil and gas, calling them, quote, a gift from God. That just days after a senior Azerbaijan conference official was caught on tape using his role to secretly arrange fossil fuel side deals.
Oh, working out very nicely already.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres cited the increase in devastating extreme weather disasters around the world in 2024 as, quote, a masterclass in human destruction, and said increased funding is in the best interest of all countries.
Climate finance is not charity. It's an investment. Climate action is not optional. It's an imperative. Both are indispensable to a livable world for all humanity and a prosperous future for every nation on Earth.
With the U.S. expected to withdraw from its climate commitments, experts say the hope is that other nations will now step up, like the European Union. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer announced new emissions targets, pledging to cut UK carbon emissions 81% by 2035.
Wow.
The UK is one of a handful of countries that are on track to meet their emissions reduction goals.
Thank you, UK.
Bolivia announced a $5 billion agreement to fund protection of its rainforest, and the conference did achieve an early success, agreeing to final rules to operationalize a global carbon market, a key step toward allowing countries to trade emissions credits in projects that reduce carbon pollution. That, in turn, is expected to unlock billions in funding for conservation and mitigation projects in the developing world.
Well, let's hope the rest of the world can drag us along with them. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. We are the future.